at the Sapphire Coast on Dubuque. You've got to believe your eyes. She went very good to do it. Looks progressive enough, so I'm respecting her. Horse number four, Master of Norway. Got good wet track statistics. And although did a little bit wrong at Albury last start, I thought stuck on quite well to finish second. And next best is number 12, which is Dr. Force. He's racing quite well at this sort of grade. One on top, Jodbud, to beat 7, 4 and 12 in race number 6. Best bet of the day there, Jodbud. A bit better value than a few of the others at around that 260, 280 quote.
Okay, won the best bet, 1-7-4-12. Allen's 1-4-12 and 7. Last race, Anthony, due at 20-5 this afternoon. 6, 10 and 12 won't be lining up. 5, Lost Command, $1.95 in from 2, 25 the fave. 3.20 about 7, Fashion Tip. 2, Gentleman Max, it's 5.50 next best.
I got up this morning and I read that it was a heavy 8, and I was keen on Gentleman Max at a softish track, and I'm even more keen on him on a heavy 8. He's the best wet tracker in New South Wales country racing. Gentleman Max absolutely loves it. He's on a quick backup. He raced at Forbes on Monday. He was 3 deep the trip there in the Cup, and he stuck on quite well. Just got beat about 1.5 lengths. Quick backup suits him good. Blake McDougall's ridden him once, and they recorded a win at Albury a couple of starts ago. That was on a heavy 10. And he loves Wagga, he loves the wet track, and this just all fits into play for Gentleman Max. I think he can win. Lost Command looks the danger. It is worth noting that, look, she does meet Gentleman Max much better at the weights for the last time they met, but the thing with Gentleman Max is he's an old warhorse. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that Lost Command meets him better at the weights. He's beaten the fair and square every time they've met. I think he'll beat her again. I'm not concerned about the price differential there. Number one, Jarrett. I'm surprised this one's the price it is. It's won two of its last three. Just had to be used up far too much there at Canterbury from an awkward gate last start. Back to country grade and gets through the heavy track. It'll give a good sight. And next best, number seven, Fashion Tip. Look, I liked her last week at Gundagai. She had a pretty tough run. I think 1,400 metres on a heavy track's probably as far as she wants, but I'm respecting that she is in form and I wouldn't leave her out of the quaddies. But I was very keen on Gentleman Max, two on top, to beat 5, 1 and 7 in the last.
2, 5, 1, 7 there. He must love it, Anthony. Gentleman Max, he's had 100 starts, so he must love it. 13 wins, 100 race starts for 7-year-old. He's been around.
Yeah.
5, 2, 7, 1 from Alan there in the last. So Jodper's your best. Anything else worth to mention?
Jodper the best. I thought Gentleman Max was great value. He generally tends to fly under the radar. He won at a good price a couple of starts ago at Albury, and it was a heavy 10, and he tends to sort of fly under the radar a little bit. And as I mentioned, I know that Lost Command meets him better at the weights, and that's the reason why she's favourite, but Gentleman Max doesn't know that, and he's an old war horse and he loves the wet track, and it all falls into play for him this afternoon, so I thought he was a great bet as well.
Rightio. Thank you, Anthony. We'll get your bets late mail at least this afternoon from Wagga Wagga. Have a good day.
Thanks, Kev. We'll speak soon.
Anthony Manton there. Alan Hull gives us his best bets about 12:15. Tab Movers with Trent at about 20 past 12. In just a moment, Chasing and Pacing rewinds.
Sky Sports Radio reminds you to stay within the speed limit when travelling to or from race meetings. Be aware of your speed when travelling through country towns and when overtaking other vehicles. Stay safe throughout New South Wales. Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Let's go harness racing. Fred Hastings, good morning, sir.
Kevin Wolfe, good morning to you.
Always exciting Menangle on a Saturday night, but even more so when you get a dead set champ running around, Fred.
Yeah, look, it's one of those real perks of the job, Kev, when you get to call horses of the calibre of Tiger Tara. It was a very cold and blustery Saturday night, probably kept a few people away from the track, but in terms of seeing the great horse go around, that was certainly the highlight, and he went around in the Group 3 seventh race on the card.
Tiger Tara, 28 the split, goes for home. Motu Gate Crasher sticks with him, and then came further back in the field, 4.08. He's got to get busy on the Tiger. Tiger Tara's a half in front, now a neck. Motu Gate Crasher levels up on the outside. Tiger Tara lifting off the canvas. The champ fights back. He's too good. Tiger Tara beats Motu Gate Crasher, 4.08. Forza Camera.
Okay, so Tiger Tara, pretty impressive there, Fred. How's he looking and where's he heading?
Well, look, he's got big fish to fry coming up, of course, as we launch into the Inters. He had that very tough run in Queensland. Kev's brought him back. I know the stable were very happy with him, and they're confident that he's on song for a tilt of the big races coming up in Victoria later in the year, and of course in New Zealand. He's just a super horse. Look, from where I stood, I think Motu Gate Crasher definitely levelled up with him. Whether he popped the bib in front, I'm not entirely, you know, just the angle, but he certainly got on terms. And you could just see Tiger Tara, you know, he fought. He really, you know, stuck the head out. Now, he did move, or seemed to move, a little bit up the track, and stewards held up the all clear just to ascertain whether Motu Gate Crasher had been inconvenienced. But there was no issues. They declared all clear, and Tiger Tara bouncing back to the winner's circle. We had horses, a couple of other nice horses win last night. Jason Grimson's having a terrific season. He won two races last night. Island Special Major, a horse he trains, and he drove one Ferdinand for Mickey Musket. Horse I was really excited to see win, Kev, is a horse called God Spirit. I've had a, you know, real affinity with this horse since he came across from New Zealand. Started out here in Australia in a blaze of glory, winning four straight races. Then he went out for a spell, came back, didn't win after that spell. He only had a couple of runs, but he placed. Then he went out again, and Shane Tritton and Lauren Tritton brought him back with the view to try to race him, you know, to get him to settle in races, not just fire off the arm and run blistering time. Now, he had little option from the draw last night. He came out and he led, and he's won by just under 10 metres, and the time he clocked was 1:52 and a fraction, 1:52 and 5. He wasn't really hustled and bustled, and just good to see him get that win under his belt after, I think it was four consecutive placings. So a bit of confidence boost there for God's Spirit. And the other mention I wanted to make was in the trot, Joe and Mary Rando. They produced another winner in Sunset Tour, beating Amanda Spur. So they quinellaed the race. They've just got a terrific record in these Saturday night trotters races, the Joe and Mary Rando barn, and they were able to win the last race. And Duke Vella won the guaranteed mare's race, Kevin. Look, she's just durable as all get out. She's won over 114,000, I think it is, in stakes earnings. Just been a real good little race mare, and she did a good job winning last night. But it was a good night all round at Menangle. And just before we introduce our guest, Kev, just a quick mention of a Menangle trained horse, Expensive Ego. Now, this horse has had five starts for five wins. I called it winning a midweek race on debut about 6 weeks ago. It was sent around as a pretty warm favourite, and it won by about 18 metres. It was a real dominant win, and you sort of got the feeling that day that, hey, this horse might have something. Well, since that run, it's won two Group 1 races in Queensland, and last night won the APG final by a mere, or just under 30 metres. It was a dominant display. David Thorne, who trains at Menangle, he's no stranger to Group 1 victories. Jimmy Douglas, forming a great association with this horse, Kev. Five starts now, five wins. Jimmy's been in the card each one, and well done to all concerned there.
Okay. Well, we do have your guest on the phone ready for a chat, Fred. Let's have a listen to this race, though. It's Bathurst. It's Wednesday night, and it's pretty special.
They leave the 400-metre peg behind them, 28.5 the quarter. Zadaka led. Skirmish is gone. Shannon's the man, has plenty of room to work into the clear. Mr. Haywood comes up on the outside, followed further back. The times are changing, and Call Me Queen Bee goes right to the outside. It's Zadaka. Shannon's the man. The times are changing. Zipping home on the inside has finished. Finishing brilliantly. The times are changing. Enza Darker. It's the times are changing. Hitting the lead. The times are changing. Lucas Rando gets the job done. Second home goes Shannon's the man. Zadaka. And for fourth.
Yeah, it's a special moment, as you alluded to, Kev, for young Lucas Rando. It was his first winning drive. He's only had a handful of drives. I'll check in with him exactly how many, but it was a terrific drive. I even gave him the Drive of the Night award because he was very patient. He stayed the pegs. He got up on the inside and then went back to the sprint lane. And I'm very pleased to say Lucas Rando joins us on the program this morning. Good morning, Lucas.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How did it feel? Listening to that again, I'm sure you've watched the replay a few times, but how did it feel? Did it give you goosebumps?
It did again. It's pretty special still to just hear it coming through.
Absolutely. Now, look, I mentioned you haven't had a lot of drives. How many drives have you had? Obviously, that was your first win. I remember your first drive, you actually ran a placing. But how many drives have you had?
Yep, that was my eighth drive Wednesday night, the one that won. So, yeah, I've only had the eight so far.
Eight drives and you've notched up a win. And I know you've had a few placings. So, obviously, the rando name, it's your third generation going into that race. I know your family's been involved in harness racing for a long time. So, to carry the torch, of course, your cousin Amanda's almost a regular on Sky Sports Radio with all her media work. But as far as you go, you're in the business as far as driving goes. Is that where you want to settle as a driver? You're not really interested in training?
No, I do have an interest in training as well, but I enjoy the driving a bit more. I'd love to one day be able to drive on a full-time basis, whereas I don't think I can see myself training on a full-time basis.
Sure. How old are you? You're only 17?
Yep, I'm only 17 at the moment.
17, and do you finish your schooling?
Yeah, I've left school to focus on this and my TAFE studies.
Okay, so you're working at the moment for Dad, I guess, for Jim. How many horses is Jim working?
We've got four in work at the moment.
Four in work, and you're pretty much now the stable driver.
It looks the way at the moment.
Well, they're going to have a hard time getting you out of the cart, aren't they, especially with the times are changing.
I think so.
Mum and Dad were there on Wednesday night, and I, as you were returning to scale, I looked down and I could see they were beaming, no doubt very proud. How did you feel as you looked across and saw them moving onto the track?
It was pretty special to have both of them there for it. It was pretty amazing considering the horse is also owned by my grandfather, so it was a really special moment.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and look, the times are changing. Did a great job. It was a great drive, peg-hugging drive, and then you went back to the sprint lane. Tell me a little bit about where you see yourself down the track as far as the harness sport. I mean, obviously, you just said, you know, full-time you'd like to be driving. Is there any ambition that you have? Have you set yourself any goals?
Yeah, I have a few goals. My goal this season was just to have 10 drives, considering I only started with a couple months left, which I should tick off pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have a shot at a junior driver's premiership sometime in the future while I still have my claim. That'd be pretty good.
Absolutely. And obviously from there, being involved in junior driving series, that'd be pretty special.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to do Rising Stars and series like that.
Okay. Now, you said you finished your schooling, but you have some TAFE studies that you're doing, so you're getting a little bit of something else behind you as well, just as a safety net?
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of an insurance there, just in case.
No, smart thinking, young man. Now, what about within the harness industry? Obviously, we've got some amazing drivers and amazing talent. Who do you look up to in the sport?
Oh, I've grown up admiring drivers like Blake Fitzpatrick, Amanda Turnbull and Jimmy Douglas in the way they drive. Not only in the way they drive, but the way they handle themselves both on and off the track.
Well, that's crucial, and I think you've certainly named some great role models there. And of the current crop that you drive against, and given that we've got, you know, some real talent like, you know, Toddy McCarthy and some young superstars on the up like Josh Gallagher, you're in good company.
Yeah, 100%. It's made it a lot easier being out there with those type of drivers so far.
Yeah. Now, what do you do away from the track? Obviously, you're busy in the mornings, you know, working horses and dealing with the horses. And then, obviously, you've got, you know, from here and there, you've got race drives. So what do you do to in terms of hobbies and things away from the track?
I've always been really passionate about the gallops as well. So I spend a lot of time just watching races during the day as well.
Okay. Have you ever had an ambition or an interest to be involved in racing rather than harness racing? Have you ever aspired maybe to be a jockey or anything like that?
I always did. Then I had a growth spurt when I was about 14 and it kind of ruled it out.
Yeah, I almost was down the same path. I had a growth spurt. It was called pizza and beer. And, the jockey's ambition certainly went out the door. So, yeah, I guess once you have those growth spurts, the next best thing, obviously, for you, if that was your ambition to be involved in racing, the next best thing is to be driving winners in harness, and that's certainly where you've headed.
Yeah, 100%. I'm still really light on, which helps in the harness as well.
Absolutely. So from here, when's the horse in next? When are you next driving?
I'm driving again Thursday night. Pay me overs and quick income.
Yeah.
So they're going to take the times of changing them an angle Saturday night, so I've lost the drive there, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, they have got you out of the cart. We'll have to have a chat to the trainer and see what he's doing there.
Might have to.
Now, what about in terms of outside drives? You've only had the 8 drives, as you said, but you've handled the horse as well. So, obviously, down the track, one of your real ambitions will be to be picking up external drives for outside barns.
Yeah, 100%. I'm hoping that'll happen sooner rather than later, but I'm happy to be patient with it. It's the best way to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, take your time and get some experience. And obviously, you know, the best thing you can do is get the results on the track and then other stables start taking notice.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, terrific. Well, Lucas, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I wish you well because it was a big moment for you, and I could see it was a massive moment for your parents as well, Jim and Vicky. So congratulations on that. The monkey's off the back. You've got your first win. Now it's just keep driving more.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Good on you, Lucas. Lucas Rando, Kev, young fella, big thrill for him. Very well-spoken young man, too. He's only 17. He's, you know, first time on the radio, and he handled himself well. He should be very, very proud.
I was thinking that all the way through, Fred. I thought, wow, 17 to be speaking so well, and he's obviously comes from good stock, but certainly at 17, Fred, probably a little bit more responsible than you and I.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, look, absolutely. And we won't go any further than
no.
that because we could be giving ourselves up. But no, you just mentioned good stock. Jim and Vicky, and of course I mentioned Joe and Mary Rando, Amanda's mum and dad. Look, the Rando family, terrific bunch of people. And young Lucas, chip off the block, and I think he'll do very well for himself. And he's got some good role models. He rattled off a few names there, and good luck to him. I wish him well.
Well, what's the age restriction for being able to drive professionally?
Look, you've got me there. I question without notice, but I'm pretty sure you can drive. I think you can drive at 16.
Okay.
If not 16, it's definitely 17. I know. I'm pretty sure it may well be 17, but he's there at 17 now, and he's done the job. And
what a thrill!
What a thrill! I mean, you know, to get the horse past the post, it paid $8 for memory on the tote. It wasn't a favourite or a fancy. And I wasn't joking when I said Bathurst, they get the race caller to award a drive of the night. And I gave it to Lucas for the simple fact that he didn't panic when he was buried on the pegs. He drew barrier one but got crossed by a couple of horses. And he was lucky in one respect that one horse popped away from the inside to make its run. Shannon's the man. And they've got a sprint lane at Bathurst. And Lucas had no hesitation diving back to the sprint lane, and the horse did the rest. So terrific drive. And I think he is just one of those kids who'll get better. You might remember, Kev, I think it was you at the start of this very season as we draw to a close. I mentioned a driver to watch was Josh Gallagher, and during the season, he's had an amazing season. He's a rising star winner. He's amassed an amazing number of wins for the season, and if Lucas follows in his footsteps, I'll tell you what, the New South Wales driving ranks are in good stead.
Yeah, good story. Really good segment, Freddie, starting with Tiger Tara, finishing up with Lucas there. Nicely done. You can take the rest of the day off.
Hey, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. My first in 6 days. I need it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, since you went to Fiji, tough.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
All the best, Kev.
Yeah, mate. Fred Hastings. We do have Parks Harness Racing today, and Craig Easy will be joining us at about 20 to 1 to give us his best bets on the program. There we go. Greyhound racing in a moment.
Sky Sports Radio talks harness and greyhound racing every morning on Racing HQ. Monday to Friday, catch On the Pace and Going Greyhounds for the latest race news and interviews around your wagering day. For racing followers, weekday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Living on the edge. Michael Cowley, they go together. Morning, Mick.
Hello, Kev. How are you, mate? I don't know about living on the edge. Living's just a start these days.
Yeah, that's true. Living close to the edge. So we are Greyhound Racing. And look, let's get into it with the Chasing Rewind part of the program. Feral Frankie, 16th win from 29 starts at Wenty on Saturday night. Tell me why Feral Frankie's referred to as, the people's champ or the favourite, the crowd favourite. What's the appeal of Feral Frankie?
Kev, I think there's actually a couple of appeals. I think for starters, the name. And your own Dave Stanley, I think, might have been one of the ones that really got on board the whole the Feral rather than just Feral Frankie. And,
right.
and through that, got a bit of a cult following through catching Penn, Dave appearing here, there and everywhere, as he quite often does, a mega media personality that he is these days. So from that perspective, that kind of caught on and it was a bit of a catchphrase. But I think also the way that Feral Frankie races. In greyhound racing, quite often, the dog will jump to the front, off it'll go and won't be caught. And that's the trend of a lot of good dogs. The Feral Frankie, he gets back in the field. He's not a brilliant beginner. He's not last out of the boxes by any means. But he's not a brilliant beginner. He'll find himself in traffic, and he just has this incredible ability to stay balanced, whether he takes a hit or a knock, stays balanced, looks for a run. It's to watch the dog run, it's like watching someone just pick their way through a race and know exactly where to go and what time to make runs and things like that. I think that's another aspect to the whole cult following. Everyone likes to watch him and watch him unwind. And more often than not, as you said, that fantastic record at Wente, and it's not just Wente, it's everywhere, has really got people on board. And right as we lead into the big race, the $10 million chase, I think he'll continue to garner that support and the public will hop on board the Feral.
Right, Mick, well, we have his trainer ready to chat to you, but before we get there, let's have a listen to Feral Frankie at Wente last night.
Racing, Feral Frankie got away okay. Pure Project showing speed. Zipping Clive driving up on the inside. Zipping Clive is going to sail through and leave Pure Project, and Feral Frankie, he's on the move. He's gone to second, right on Zipping Clive. They'll followed up by further back Knight's Page. Over on the inside, Zipping Truby, then Jimmy Casey. Further back, Really Unreal, Family Spirit. We've got a race. Zipping Clive turned the leader. Feral Frankie up on the inside. Clive and Frankie. Feral Frankie, Zipping Clive, Feral Frankie. He's done the better. Feral Frankie has got the money and beating Zipping Clive, and Zipping Truby is hammered to the line for third. They'll pull it in by Jimmy Casey.
Well, there you go, Feral Frankie, and pretty impressive, Mick.
Was indeed, yeah. He's always impressive, and as we mentioned, Kev, it's a case of he's going to have to find a way to run down the leader, and that leader was pretty smart last night, but he still found a way, ran good time, and got the chocolates again.
Well, the trainer's with you on the phone.
Thank you, Kev. Yeah, Jack Smith joins us. Jack, on your way back to Forbes, I understand.
Yeah, it's a pretty slow trip, actually. There's a lot of snow.
Oh, mate, not good at all. It's a long way back, but I guess you go back with a smile on your face after another Wentworth Park win.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier.
Jack, I actually read last night that you were a little bit anxious. You weren't sure whether he would be able to chase down a dog like Zipping Clive.
No, well, I didn't know a lot about Clive, but all reports was that he was quite strong. So, I certainly didn't want to be giving him a start, and that's how it turned out. But he didn't shirk his task, and they were two good dogs. Just went head and head, and we were lucky enough to get there in the end.
Now, how did he obviously, before he returned to Wentworth Park, he went down for the maturity and had success in the heat, finished third behind Seneca in the final. How did he come through that series, Jack?
Yeah, no, great. It's all good. Pulled up good, so we just taking him along steady now, and we're going to obviously target the $1 million race. So that's the mission.
With that, it's obviously the format's changed a bit this year. You can go to as many regionals as you want, and there's a lot more incentive to get through the regionals, with the first four place getters getting through to the semi-finals. Dubbo's obviously a track that he's gone well at. I guess Bathurst would be another one. Richmond's another one. Have you thought that far ahead yet?
We're tossing up between Gunnedah and Bathurst, because they're the first ones, so we want to get him through as quick as we can, yeah.
Has he been around Gunnedah yet or not yet?
No, he's never seen Gunnedah.
You think the track will suit him?
I think he doesn't seem to worry about any sort of track. He'll do his best, I'm sure.
Mate, I guess the 5:27 there would be handy distance for him as well.
Well, that's very appealing, because it looks a little bit harder run.
And Gunner does obviously 3 weeks away. Would you look at ducking up there for a bit of a look around before now or before then?
Yeah, that's on the cards. We also like to qualify him for the Speed Star, which is in between the heats and the semis of the $1 million race. So we're just trying to think ahead. If it comes off, it comes off. So yeah, we don't want to overtax him, but we don't want to be soft either. You've got to be race fit to race those dogs, as you've seen last night.
Absolutely. Was there were there any thoughts in your mind about looking to the Nationals, or was the potential trip to Perth, if you got through, something that you weren't really keen on?
Oh, look, you can't go in them all, and he had a June and July, he was everywhere. He'd done such a great job, and we were happy, and the owners that weren't that keen to put him on a plane, and I didn't argue. It would have been very difficult for us to spend a week over there. So with everything, the pluses and the minuses was just to let him do what we've done this week and the next couple of weeks, keep him going but reasonably light. And hopefully by the time we hit the $1 million race, we'll be touch wood in full swing.
Sounds like a great plan, mate. Well, it was good to have him back in Sydney and doing what he does best, which is winning. And as Kev was talking about earlier, that following he's got to just continue to grow, and hopefully it'll continue to go right throughout the $1 million Chase series.
Let's hope so.
Jack, I appreciate your time, mate. Drive careful through that snow, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Mick. Thank you.
Cheers,
bye,
mate. Kev, there he was, Jack Smith, and a bit of an exclusive for us here. He's going to target that first $1 million chase race at Gunnedah on August 31.
Yeah, he sounds like he doesn't appear to be overly keen in doing the sort of media interviews there, a little bit reserved, but a decent sort of guy and solidly worth stuff, and he's got a pretty good dog in his hands there.
Absolutely right. Now, one of the there's a lot of those characters in greyhound racing, and Jack's certainly one of them. He'll always do whatever he can for you from the media perspective, and when he's got a good dog, he's happy to share it around.
Yeah, excellent. What else would you like to talk about at Winty last night?
Well, one of the interesting races was the Masters race. It was won last night by a dog called Blabbermouth, who actually turned 5 years of age back in June. It was the oldest dog in the field last night and got the cash. And the interesting part, I think, is that Blabbermouth just ultra consistent. Yeah, last 36 starts, he's missed a place on just 4 occasions, which is a nice money spinner for Connections. The Blabbermouth will no doubt be aimed at the Masters Medial, the $100,000 race for older greyhounds that was successfully held last year. Last year it was won by a dog called Cosmic Bonus, who actually beat Spring Creek Bill and Blabbermouth, finishing third. And Spring Creek Bill still going around. It ran third to Blabbermouth last start. Cosmic Bonus won in the best of the night at Grafton on Tuesday. That was his 51st win from 110 starts. So that quartet, the trifecta from last year, are all looking like they're aiming, a year older, but all looking like they're aiming for the Masters Meteor on October 18 again this year, Kev.
Okay, Mick, let's move to Thursday night. Tell us about this. This is such a unique format, the Sprint Series. Just give us a quick background here, how it works.
Basically, how it works is each state hold their heats on whatever night they do have their main race meeting, whether that be Saturday for Wentworth Park or Thursday for Angle Park, et cetera, et cetera. And then all over a two-hour window, all those state finals, the sprint and the distance, are held on a Thursday night. And that was the case last Thursday night. And got some fantastic coverage on Sky Racing. They basically had that two-hour window where they showed bounce from state to state and showed all the finals. And, yeah, fantastic series. Now all those qualifiers out of those state finals head to Perth. The finals of the distance and the sprint will be held August 24 at Cannington. And that'll be another great night of racing with the best of the best heading over there to clash for those to become national champion. And New South Wales, the sprint race was won by Goodhide Tirada, who, ironically, is a little brother of Feral Frankie.
Racing?
Well, racing good on Harada. Dwell beginning quickly. Ningar Cash, Miley Nismo charging, and Sorry Scott down from the outside. Miley Nismo, she's going to hold a narrow lead over Ningar Cash. Moving up three deep, Corborn Marty. Followed up by Good Odds Buddy, Good Odds Harada, Sorry Scott, and then Jamila Jett. Ningar Blaze at the rear, the front runner, Ningar Cash, the roughy over Corborn Marty, Miley Nismo, and running on Good Odds Harada. Ningar Cash in front, Good Odds Harada sending Good Odds Harada right over the top. That's been a massive win. Good Odds Harada has beaten Ningar Cash.
Sorry about that. Good Odds Harada. Sorry, Mick, bit trigger happy there I was, you were saying.
Mate, fantastic performance. Yeah, Frank Hurst, who trained Good Odds Harada, even he was surprised that the dog, who's normally a leader, could get back in the pack and storm home and beat a quality field. Obviously, if it's a state final or the sprint championship, it's a quality field. So Good Odds Harada will be the New South Wales representative in the sprint title. And just quickly running through those other reps, there's Black Opium out of Victoria, Ebby Lamar out of South Australia.